2020 is the first year in its history that Ketchikan hasn't seen a steamship or cruise ship. I spoke with history buff Dave Kiefer last week about the growth of visitors to Ketchikan and what the future might look like. Can you first explain your background and your knowledge of Ketchikan's history?
I've been here most of my life, actually. My family's been here since the 1890s, and I've always had a great interest in local history. I've been writing local history stories now for about 25 years. So I may not be the ultimate expert on local history, but I know some stuff.
Recently, you wrote an article that appeared in the Ketchikan Daily News about this being the first year, I believe ever, that Ketchikan has not seen a ship, cruise, or steamer since the late 1800s. Is that correct?
Absolutely. There were cruise ships, or I shouldn't say cruise ships, steamships, which were obviously passenger ships and also cargo ships, coming to this area for a couple of decades before there even was a Ketchikan, in fact. The first ones came in the late 1860s after the Alaska Purchase and went to places like Sitka and Wrangell, which were the only major communities. And certainly by the early 1880s, even before Ketchikan got going, there were steamships going to Loring, which is about 20 miles north of here.
What brought the people up here?
Interest in the new country, you know, development. A lot of people came here because they saw the possibilities in the salmon industry, in timber production. Probably what attracted most people were various gold rushes. There were gold rushes up Stickeen in the 1870s. Juneau had a fairly big gold development in the 1880s. And, of course, in the 1890s, you had the Klondike Gold Rush, where 100,000 people passed through this area.
Was it mainly coming up here to work or to explore and look for gold, or was it for jobs as well?
Both.
Or I shouldn't say jobs, for tourism.
Well, for tourism, it's interesting because initially there was interest in people coming here. In fact, one of the first actual quote-unquote tourists who came to this area was William Henry Seward. Not long after he resigned as Secretary of State, of course, Seward was the person who arranged for the purchase of Alaska in 1867. Shortly after he retired in 1869, kind of when he was on his last legs, he was fairly old and not long for this world. He said he wanted to see Alaska, so he took a train out to the Seattle area and got on a steamship coming north and actually passed through this area, made a speech in Sitka in which he said he hoped to see Alaska statehood someday. Only took, you know, 80 years or whatever after that. And he also stopped at Fort Tongass, which was the military base south of Ketchikan down along the Canadian border. So he was actually the first tourist, you could say, who came to this area. And after that, even up into the 1880s and 1890s, probably about 20% of the people coming up on the steamships were indeed tourists, because there were a lot of stories in Eastern media, in magazines and newspapers about Alaska. And so people who could afford it obviously got to Seattle and that area and Portland and San Francisco and took steamships up the coast.
The steamships, I imagine, weren't really passenger cruise ships. They, I'm guessing, brought mail and cargo. Was that their main thing, and passengers were sort of secondary?
Yes. It wasn't up until about the 19-teens or 20s when you first started seeing ships that were primarily passenger ships. In the earlier days, you know, and these, of course, were much smaller ships. You know, if you had a ship that had 100 people on it or 150 or 200, that was a large ship for that time. And they brought all manner of cargo. They brought equipment, supplies, food. That was their primary role as transporting cargo. But they also had staterooms, and people could book passage on them as well.
What were the main industries in Ketchikan in those early days, and how did the arrival of passenger ships change the character of the town?
Well, the main industries to start off. It's kind of a two-pronged period here. Initially, people came to Ketchikan and built the first actual, you know, houses and wharfs were people who were involved in seeing how to use what was called Fish Creek in those days, became eventually Tongass Creek, and then, of course, Ketchikan Creek, you know, the large salmon runs. But what really built Ketchikan as a community in the 1890s and early 1900s was actually the mining industry. There were a lot of people who came to this area because Alaska was hot in those days because of the Klondike Gold Rush, and a lot of folks wanted to develop mines in the area. And that was sort of the first big industry. It wasn't until the 20s that the fishing industry, through salmon canning, became a major industry. But that said, the initial folks who came up here in the 1880s were probably also looking at the exploiting the fishery resources.
You've spoken a bit of how things sort of were gradually starting. Can you maybe discuss some of the changes over the decades when really tourism and whether it be, you know, passenger ships or cruise ships, however you want to define them, started, you know, gradually increasing over time?
Yes. Through the first, you know, half century of Ketchikan being an organized community from like 1900 to 1950s, the tourism industry was still pretty much small potatoes. You know, there was very little happening. Folks came here on steamships. There weren't any actual purpose-built cruise ships. But after World War II, in the late 40s and early 50s, as the steamship industry pretty much petered out, that was when the cruise industry started to develop. And certainly by the 1960s, you saw things changing. You saw a little more tourism-related industries popping up. Some of the first charter boat services, things like that, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s started coming about. It wasn't until the 70s, and probably you can almost pinpoint a fairly accurate point here, was in 1970, a cruise ship called the Arcadia, P&O Lines, stopped in Ketchikan. And it was, you know, 8 or 9 decks high. It was hundreds of feet long. It had 1,300 passengers. And it was so big, it actually had to park out in the channel. It couldn't fit any of the docks at that point. And the arrival of the Arcadia was the first time a really big, large, full-scale, out-and-out cruise ship showed up. You had smaller ones like the Polar Star and others that were here in the 60s. And even the Canadian steamships, the Princess Patricia, Princess George, were coming in those years. But this was the first big ship. And after that, you had the development of the Love Boat cruises, and then Holland America came. And that was sort of what really got it going. Of course, then it kind of built, you know, gradually over the years. I still remember Len Lawrence back in the 1970s saying that at some point Ketchikan would have 1 million cruise passengers. He made that statement at a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and people laughed because in those days we had, I don't know, 30,000-40,000, and the belief that we'd have 1 million cruise passengers coming to Ketchikan, which we have in the last couple of years, obviously not this year, you know, was just totally beyond the pale as anything that could realistically happen, and yet, you know, in a non-COVID year, we're seeing 1 million passengers come.
And not to give away your age, but I imagine, based on what you're telling me, when the Arcadia arrived, you were a small child. Do you remember it?
I do, actually. I have a very specific memory of the Arcadia. My father was still alive, then I was working with him on his trolling boat, and I was about, you know, 10 or 11. Actually, I think I was 11 at that point. And we were actually going on our trolling boat down to the oil dock to fuel up to go out on a fishing trip. And, you know, we're going through the channel, and here is this monstrosity, this huge piece of equipment sitting there in the harbor. And my father, who tended to look askance at cruise ships and the tourism industry, was so fascinated by that boat. I think we circled it 3 times in our boat, just looking at it and gawking. And thinking, what in the world is that thing? You know, it was like this, like an alien spaceship had landed in out of nowhere and just arrived in Ketchikan. And it wasn't just us. There were other folks out in their boats all sort of circling around this big, huge boat going, what is that thing? So, yeah, I have a very specific memory of when the Arcadia came.
Do you remember how people in the town reacted to it? Was this like an exciting opportunity for selling wares, or was it how the community felt?
To be honest, like I said, I was 11 at that point, and I was more interested in the fact that we were getting ready to go on a fishing trip, so it's hard to remember specifically that boat. But certainly in that time period, when the Arcadia came, and then shortly after, the Spirit of London, which became one of the Princess boats, and the Italia, which was another Princess boat, There was a palpable excitement, certainly in the downtown area. There had always been downtown businesses related to the steamships. You know, going back to the 1890s and 1900, there were a couple of jewelry stores. There were several curio shops. There was always an interest in trying to take advantage of that ready arriving market. But certainly in the 70s, when people downtown began to think, well, okay, we need to be, you know, how do we address these larger boats coming in and dropping off maybe, you know, 1,000 people at a time or 1,500 people or whatever the number happen to be. And even in those days, it was still unusual to have more than two or three ships a week. You know, of course, now you have five or six a day, so it's gone incrementally beyond that. But certainly in the 1970s, I think, was when people started thinking, hey, okay, how do we, I hate to use the word exploit, but how do we take advantage of the fact that there's going to be a couple thousand, or some days now 10,000 people arriving in our town, and we need to figure out a way to take advantage of that.
Can you compare this, I would say there's kind of two ends to this question. Can you compare this to other events in Ketchikan's history that changed it and changed the economy, both the arrival of cruise ships, as an example, and then also them not coming and going from one end of finances coming in to the other? Any other comparisons for things that have happened in Ketchikan over the years?
Sure, actually quite a few. Because Ketchikan, unlike most towns that's developed in Alaska, has gone through numerous boom and bust cycles. In Alaska, towns usually go boom, then they go bust, then they die. Ketchikan's had several of those. You know, I mentioned mining before. Mining was a real big deal. By the end of World War I, it was dead. Then it was replaced by salmon canning, and salmon canning was a real big deal up until the 50s, and the runs started to die up because the fish traps were too successful. But right about that time, you know, you had your bust, but then the timber industry came. Obviously, the timber industry lasted from the 50s through the mid-70s, 1977 to be exact. And then when the pulp mill stopped operating, there was a big crash there. So obviously this, in some ways, I guess this summer could feel something like that, except that in each one of those other examples, there was a new industry on the horizon. Now, granted, we do not anticipate as a community that the COVID situation will last indefinitely and that the cruise industry is going away. But it's also fairly easy to imagine next summer when the cruise industry starts up again, assuming it starts up again, we will not see a million passengers. Maybe we'll see half of that or two-thirds of that or some smaller number. That said, if we as a community have to go through two or three years with no cruise ships coming, it's hard to imagine that being replaced by any other industry at this point that could have a similar value. I mean, if you're looking at $1 million a day in spending by passengers in the summer, there's nothing else that's going to replace that. I guess in some ways, the arrival of the cruise ships in the early 70s was very similar to the arrival of the pulp mill in the 50s. You know, it kind of came at a time when there was a need for a boost in the economy.
And I think you answered a question that I was going to ask is, do you have any crystal ball predictions for the future?
Boy, it's hard to imagine the cruise industry. It took a huge hit. And to be honest, part of that was self-inflicted. You know, they kept operating their ships in the spring longer than they should have. And they were left with a huge amount of bad publicity of, you know, boats being out in the middle of nowhere, unable to land. So it's going to take a few years before it comes back, if at all, to the levels we saw in 2018, 2019. That said, this was an industry that was almost entirely created by the media in the first place because, you know, before the Love Boat series ran in the late 70s and early 80s, most Americans didn't think about taking cruises. After watching the fun Captain Steubing and the gang had all those years, you suddenly had a huge number of Americans thinking, yeah, I want to take a cruise to Mexico or I want to take a cruise to Alaska. And there's still that built up you know, desire for people wanting to come to Alaska. I mean, we're seeing with all the various, you know, strictures for travel and quarantining and the like right now, we're still seeing a surprising number of people, independent visitors, in downtown Ketchikan these days, you know, stopping into stores and buying stuff. It's not like it was last summer when it was in the middle of the cruise season, but it's certainly more active than it is in other parts of the year. So there are still people out there who want to come to Alaska, want to see the glaciers, want to, some of these people who are coming now want to fish and hunt. You know, that's a factor. But I don't see that entirely going away no matter what happens to the cruise industry. And I do expect at some point, maybe not next year, but certainly in the next 2 or 3 years, seeing the cruise lines figure out a way to entice people back on board the ships, and we'll suddenly see 800,000 or 900,000 or maybe even 1 million people again.
That was Dave Keifer speaking with me about the history of steamship and cruise ship passengers in Ketchikan. For full disclosure, Keifer is a volunteer at KRBD hosting the Poetry Lounge on Monday nights.